All right, everyone, welcome back to the Visionary Practice Solutions podcast. I have with me today Dr. Brittany Anderson. She is a family medicine doc in private practice down in Demopolis, Alabama. Welcome. I'm really excited to talk to her today just about like her whole process with private practice and all the things she's doing. So welcome.
Thanks, Dr. Sarah. It's so great to be here with you. I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to chat with you and with your listeners. I appreciate the work that you're doing, and I'm just happy to share my love for private practice.
Ooh, I'm so excited. I love talking to docs that are obsessed with private practice. Like, this just makes
Absolutely
me happy.
obsessed. I'm your girl then. Absolutely obsessed.
Right? Like, all right. So tell us a little bit about like kind of how you got started making that decision to go into private practice. Like, what was the training setup like? You know,
Yeah,
all of that.
absolutely. So I'm a family medicine doc. I did my undergrad, came back to Alabama, which is home for me, to do my medical training. And so I always knew that I wanted to do rural medicine. And that was about it. That was what I knew. I grew up in rural Alabama. The docs that I grew up with, shadowing, spending time with in clinic, my best friend's dad, were all family docs and we're all in private practice. And so in my head, that's what a doc is, one who can take time off and go fishing, go on hunting trips whenever they want to, whose kids were always in the back of the clinic hanging out, that kind of thing. And so I went into my training, and this is 10, 15 years later, but I'm in my training now and realizing that we're not getting that exposure to private practice. It's so much of in the hospital, in the clinic, et cetera. And so, I went through medical school, loved everything, loved the variety, and so ended up with family medicine being the perfect career for me, also because I knew I wanted to go into a rural place, right? So you go into a rural place, they don't necessarily need a cardiothoracic surgeon right there in the rural town. I mean, you need something where you can see the most number of people and do the most good. And so family medicine worked for that. And I did it. I went into residency. We're a huge residency program. We were 15, 15, 15 then when I was a resident.
Dang.
And Sarah, every one of the docs who graduated with me in my residency program went into employed practice. And I
Absolutely.
think that's a sign of like our training, right? That,
Oh,
and that's the
yeah.
same for most. It's not specific just to my family medicine residency program, but that's across the country in all medical specialties, is that most folks are leaving and they're going right into employed practice. And so even though, my kind of childhood young vision was that I would go into private practice, I did what everyone else did and what I felt prepared to do, and that was to go into employed practice. And so I did it. It served its purpose. I got to see
You
a lot of
learned
great
some
faces.
things.
Yeah, I got to learn some things. But I'll tell you, so I did two jobs before I opened my own private practice, so two employed gigs. The first one was in a federally qualified health center, and it was out in rural Alabama, underserved population. There was so much need there. And in the clinic, I was in like a satellite clinic. So it was me, a receptionist, and a nurse. And Dr. Sarah, some days the receptionist wouldn't show up and it would be just me and the nurse. Some days the nurse wouldn't show up and it'd be just me and the receptionist. Some days neither the nurse nor the receptionist showed up and it was
Beautiful.
me.
Love that.
I was running insurances. I was checking patients in and like, hey, it's me again. I'm
Like,
calling you
hold
back to
on,
the
let me
back.
answer my own phone. Yeah,
Exactly.
we've all done it.
And it just got to where there were too many episodes like that it wasn't sustainable. Like my mental health just could not, like literally could not take it. And so, lots of prayer and consideration, I had to leave that job because I just couldn't do it. And I went into an academic practice. So I went back to the residency program that I trained in that still allowed me to do 3 days in my own, rural clinic, and then 2 days attending, back at the main campus for the residents and medical students. And loved that, but what I didn't love about it was in academics, if you see something on Monday and you're like, gosh, I wish I could do this a different way, then yes, on Tuesday, you may mention it to someone else, but then it's, 6 weeks later before it gets back to you, and then you have to have the meetings and the levels that it has to go
Committee
to,
approvals
committee
and
approvals, then at the end of the day, just to tell me no. And so,
right. We went through all this so you could say no.
so you could say no to something that now I've like festered on and know is a really
Right.
good idea. Know
Right.
that it's either, good for me as a physician, good for my staff
Right.
around me, or good
Right.
for my patients, or sometimes all three, to be told no. And that happened
Oh,
just one
God.
time too many that I was like, you know what? This isn't it. This is
Yeah,
not for me.
I'm done.
Think
Yeah.
back to those docs growing up who made their own decisions in their practice. That was my initial heart. How do I get back to it? And so then
Yeah.
the hunt was on. The hunt was on to figure out
Okay.
how I could get back to that.
Okay. So where did you go? Did you end up buying an existing practice? Did you
Yeah,
start it from nothing?
so I did not. My story is that I got just, super burned out with it and was like, okay, either I'm going to figure this out and I'm going to do practice medicine on my own terms in my own way, or I'm going to go be a kindergarten teacher. Like, one of the two. And being a kindergarten teacher, I did not choose to be a pediatrician for a reason. Like, I cannot do it all day, every day. And so I, at the height of burnout, booked a flight to Honolulu, took a week
Love
and
this.
sat on the beach, beautiful beach, toes in the sand, waves in front of me. And I planned my private practice. I wrote my letter of resignation. I started what I later realized was my business plan. Before I got back on that plane, heading back to Alabama, I had the beginnings of a plan. And so, I love the community that I was in already. In Alabama, non-competes are largely non-enforceable. And so there was nothing to say that I could not put a practice in the same town, the same rural town that I was already practicing in. And so that was part of the plan. I initially leased a space because I'm still kind of figuring out how is this going to go. But leased the space, did what I needed to do to get the credentialing done because I'm an insurance-based practice and have been. All right. So leased a space, got everything going with credentialing, gave my notice. So literally the process of me giving my notice, I gave it to, our dean then, told my, the our director, gave it to the dean, and it was really this, yeah, good luck, Anderson, like see how this goes. And that was just the motivation I needed to be like, you know what, this is going to be awesome. Get ready
Yeah,
for it.
I am
And
making the right choice.
yeah,
Thank you for
I made
confirming.
that clarification, like, there you go. That is confirmation for me. And so I took off, the last 3 months. So I had to work out my 3 months notice. And it was great. Even patients were like, Dr. Anderson, why are you so happy today? And I was like, I
Isn't
wanted to be
that
like, I'm happy
amazing?
because every night when I leave here, I'm planning the most incredible private practice anyone can imagine. And it gave me the joy and it gave me what I needed to get through those last 3 months. So I gave my notice on like January 5th. My last day was April 5th. The clinic opened on July 5th. And so
Love it.
everything happened in those 3 month spurts. But really, the day I landed in Honolulu, but really the day that I gave my notice when those 3 months started, I put everything I had into planning a private practice that was going to be successful from day one. I knew that I would have to market it like crazy. I knew hire a wonderful team, but we started with a full patient panel. I mean, we
That's
literally started with
awesome.
a full patient panel and have not slowed down. I had to add a PA to the practice earlier this year, and then
Good.
added a new doc who's a month into the practice. And we're,
Congrats.
yeah, I mean, it hasn't slowed down at all. And so, I think that is a tribute to really planning for the practice the right way. And in all that time, I mean, this is, what you do is that realization that nobody taught us this. And so there's so much figuring it out. And now that you and I are both on the other side of this,
Oh my
we're
God.
able to,
So
to
much
help
better.
others who are in the process of trying to do the same thing.
Like, don't reinvent the wheel. Let us tell you the mistakes we made. No, and and I really, there were a couple of things that I like really picked up on. One, like that importance of the time that you took in Honolulu to like step back and work on your business, right? Like on your plan and on your vision of the future. And I think that one of the big hangups for people is we're so in it. And especially when you're in like academic medicine or you're in like huge systems, like you're so in it. And it really does take everything you have just to get through your day and like get through your charting and all of that. You come home, you're exhausted. You've probably got a family at home now too. Like you're just like, I'm done. I'm done. I can't do anything else. So we don't really take that time to think about like, what does this actually look like for me? Like, rather than working within this system, what can this look like for me? Like, why am I actually doing this? Like, let's get back to square one. Why did I go into this in the first place? And I think, unfortunately, a lot of people wait till we hit that burnout moment and
To
then we're
start.
like, now something's got to change. Like, I cannot
Exactly.
keep doing this.
You're
And
so
sometimes that's
right.
that change, you know, that force.
You're
It's
so
hanging in
right.
there.
You're so right. And when I'm talking to dogs and I'm working, you know, whether it's with coaching clients or on my podcast either, it is so much of having that vision. So casting that vision from the beginning so that when you have tough days, either tough days while you're building the practice, tough days while you're in the practice, you can look back and say, why did I do this in the first place? And I've started doing that with everything, literally with every big decision, every big change that comes, I'm taking that time to write out the vision. Why am I doing this? How is this going to benefit me? How's it going to benefit people around me? And early on saying, if I have a bad day, these are the three things I'm going to tell myself to remind me why I'm doing this. And I think that's so important. And then even more than that, like planning ahead, like
Oh
what do you
God, yeah.
want this to look like in 90 days, in 180 days? And I've taken that to the level this past weekend, like the weekend before we were recording this right now, I took 2 days, went to a hotel 2 hours away, in the car, but locked myself in and said, this is my yearly solo vision retreat because the next year, 2026, is going to be my best year ever. And I got so much done. Like in those 48 hours, that from now on, like every year going forward, I'm going to start doing that because just like you said, we need that time to like just to shut it down, shut all the outside noise down, and really focus on what we're trying to achieve. You're so right. And so many people miss that part, right?
They do. And it doesn't have to be like you did. Like it could be a weekend. It could just be an overnight. You just take yourself out of your normal everyday surroundings, and that's you take yourself out of routine, and that's when you come up with the really cool creative ideas. Honest to God, like this is the first time I've done this long. I'm taking a full month.
My girl, there you
I know, I know. I'm not really sure how it's gonna go yet. I'm a little
awesome.
terrified, I'm gonna be honest. But
That is
I worked
awesome.
so hard this year to set this up so that I could walk away for a month or two. Like that's my next
That's the
challenge, right?
beauty
Is
of
like
it.
I wanna be able to not have to see patients for a month and everything's still gonna be profitable. Like that's the next step for me. But
That's beautiful.
like I've got like four different, well, I've got three different businesses right now and a fourth one that now I wanna execute.
I
Like
love
I've
it.
gotten all excited. Yeah, this is my problem is like the serial
I know,
entrepreneur
too
thing.
many.
Yeah, like you get this. Like
Start
there's
one,
just,
it gets successful. It's
oh,
like, boom, what's the
you're
next
like, I'm gonna
thing?
do all the things. So, you know, I don't wanna leave anything on the table when I'm done with this life. So I'm like, I'm gonna take a full month because I've got some serious shifts coming up. And I understand now for me the value of that time. And I'm like, you know what? Not only is this gonna be a little bit of vacation, but like this is gonna be the vision
Marginal.
planning. Like I need to get back down to like what's really core, right? So
And
yeah,
that can be
I think people should
masterful.
take it.
Yeah, it can be wonderful. There were times like literally in my hotel room. I should be embarrassed to say this, but I'm not. But like
Don't
I
be.
was
There's no
just in
embarrassment here.
such a zone and like so revved up that I would have to get up and like leave the room and walk around the hotel because it was like I couldn't
You're
turn
just
it off.
amped up.
Yeah, just so amped up from it. And that is the beauty of being able to do it and not have to worry about the distractions that are otherwise always there. And so I cannot imagine. I'm scared for you of how
I
many
am. I'm
great things you're gonna
terrified.
come
I'm
up with.
terrified
I'm
because, like, I
terrified in
feel.
the best way. You're gonna come out of this month with like, I mean, pium, pium, pium.
Yeah, it's gonna be
Be
so
awesome.
amazing. I
It's gonna be
normally, you
awesome.
know, because, like, you go to take a shower and you get like three business ideas and you're like,
I know.
well, I wonder
That's
if I
what
could
I have.
execute. I wonder how quickly that could get off the ground, you know? And so I can't imagine what I'm gonna do with a month of
I
time.
can't imagine. It is going to be terrifyingly awesome.
Amazing. I'm really excited. So, yeah, my business coach is also like, well, this is going to be interesting. I'm like, girl, you better be on standby because we're going to need it. Like, this is going to be
Incredible.
doing
It's
all the stuff. So, okay. So, I love that. And I also really like that you This is one of the other things I wanted to kind of point out for people that might be afraid to like pull that trigger or like, I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm going to have a whole bunch of, my God, I have to have a whole bunch of money saved because I'm not going to have a full panel of patients. It's going to take 2 to 3 years to grow. Like, it doesn't have to be that. And if you check on your non-competes, like, which honestly is not enforceable in a lot of states now,
Yep, exactly. Some of the people think.
like you can start building your patient base long before you open those doors. And
Absolutely.
that makes all the difference in the world. So, like, tell me how you did that. Like, what were the things that like helped you build this while
Okay.
you were like waiting to open doors?
Yeah, so a couple things. I'll share some things I did and then some things that now I wish I'd done and I
Yes, because
encourage
that's
other
the other
people
stuff
to
I'm going to
do.
ask. Like,
And
what do
so
you
the
wish you'd done
one that I
different?
wish I'd done related to this, building that patient panel first, is creating an online presence before I ever even gave my notice, when I gave my notice, that kind of thing. Because even if you're non-compete, regardless of what it says, you don't want to be that grimy person who's like in the clinic office, handing out your business card, but if you need to. But
I want to be that
there's still a
person.
level of, I know, right? There's still a level of, okay, I'm leaving, but like let me not, overdo it on my
I need
way
to be
out.
professional.
Yeah, professional is the word I was looking for. And so there certainly is a way to do that. And I think the way to do it is to start building that online presence early. And so I literally did a podcast episode about this a few weeks ago. And because I came out of a call with a client and we were at that weird space of, okay, you can't announce it to the world yet, but you want to hit the ground running. And so the best way is to have patients just asking you, when are you going to open a practice? When are you going to open a practice? Because they appreciate the information that you give them so much. And so what I encourage folks to do is, whether it's starting a Facebook page or a YouTube channel or an Instagram page, and now your Facebook and Instagram can be combined, get out there on social media and be a presence. And at least, 3 days a week, start posting, and do a mix of posts. Do some posts that, show you as a true authority in your field. And so, not giving, specific medical advice, but there's enough information out there that we give to make ourselves a trusted, reliable source. And then show yourself as someone who is personable. So, whether it's some candid, kind of behind the scenes, those things, but do it under your professional name, not under, we sometimes as medical providers don't want to have our full name out there. You want to have a page that you can post your family and your vacations and your bathing suit pictures on. Then okay, have two separate pages, but make one that is truly professional and start putting yourself out there so that people are like, oh, what is Dr. Anderson, talking about this week? Let me go see her. Then when you do get to the point that you're able to announce the practice, you already have hundreds of people who are following you and you turn it on.
Clamoring.
You say, you guys are all here now. Go follow my business page. Here we go. And so that one is one that I didn't do, but I certainly encourage people to do. But what I was doing that really helped us get off to a good start is that every day, every weekend of that 3 months where I was still working out my notice, I was working on my social media. So I was creating the post, I was going to businesses nearby, I was taking pictures at those businesses so that when time came that I could announce the practice, I was making the social media post of me eating a burger in the cute diner down the road. I could post it, and then the diner was posting it also. And so, what it turned into then is that the whole
Oh, that
community,
is
like literally the mayor
smart.
of the town, was like, do you want to head up the Chamber of Commerce? And I'm like, no,
Like,
I
can you
don't
just
want
come
to.
do all this now? Because you've already been everywhere.
It was literally, I mean, every day I was able to post, the jewelry shop in town, the cute little diners, the library, because
I
I'd taken the
love
time to go to
this.
those places. And when it came to posting again, it wasn't just me posting it, but they were posting it also. And then I really worked on the launch for the clinic. And I did an episode about this too. My clinic, the day that I launched it, it was not, happenstance that it got out there. It was planning.
It
So
was
I pulled
intentional.
it was intentional. So I made a list of, 50 people who I thought loved me that I could say on, on April 6th, my last day of working was April 5th. On April 6th, I'm launching my clinic page. If you don't do anything else for me as I build this clinic, I'm not asking you for money. I'm not asking you to come in and paint the walls. All I'm asking you to do is to share this Facebook post. So I
Yes.
have 50 people who are ready to do that. My younger sister, who's my, closest person, she got a list of 30 to 50 people who were going to share it. Everyone that I'd already hired onto my staff who knew they were going to be part of the staff, they had 10 to 15 people to share it. And on the
Yes.
day that we launched that Facebook page, it got over 700 shares.
Love
700
that.
shares. And think, if the average
And you're
person,
in a rural area.
I'm in a rural area in Alabama. And but the beauty of it was that, even some of the people that I was asking to share were in Idaho, right? It
Absolutely.
didn't matter. Share it, because when you start doing that, the algorithm says this is something that people want to
This
know.
is
And if you can
important. They're
get
going to put it
people
front and center.
that are going to put it front and center. And so it took off like gangbusters.
I
And
love
so
this.
what you had immediately was all those eyes on the page. And then I'd already done the work the last 3 months. So every day I had a post, sometimes two posts a day that were ready to go. And that's how we built the practice. And we got the people there, the people in. And then once we got them, they realized that we were providing really good care, really good care. And then word of mouth did the rest of
Oh,
it.
yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's so easy to be to say that we are introverts or that we don't like social media, but it is 2025 when we're recording this. It's about to be
I
2026.
know. We
It's
got to get
social
over
media.
it. We got to get over it. Let's be real. I was just having this conversation with somebody else. I was like, some of us just have to get over this. I don't love it either. Full disclosure, I don't. But here's the thing that I love about what you did, because I think there is a big difference between just putting yourself out there on a social media post and hoping people find it, right?
Oh, you got to be
Like,
intentional.
if you're doing that, one of the problems as kind of a, I would say more of an introverted person. I am, right? Like I'm surprisingly, I do a podcast, but like I can talk behind a microphone, right? Like I'm not on video, let's be real. But like, there's something to that where when you're putting yourself out there, it's not very natural because we're kind of talking into a void, right? Like you're
Exactly.
not getting that interaction with another person to understand how well what you're saying is landing, right? You're having to commit to saying this, and then you're having to judge how well that landed based on like clicks and
On likes and
shares and likes and
exactly.
all the, right? So it's a very delayed thing. And like there's part of us, a lot of us that go, but I've already put it out there and now I'm being judged for it, right? Like you're not able to pivot when you're
Oh,
talking
yes.
with somebody. So what I love about what you did is rather than just talking into the void and hoping for the best, you utilized other businesses' audiences.
Absolutely.
Girl, freaking
And they were
genius.
happy to share it. I mean,
Absolutely.
the jewelry store that I did, she said that people came back. It was a shop downtown that people said that they thought the shop was closed. They didn't even know it was still open.
Oh my
And so here I
God.
am, not only am I, marketing my practice, but
Right. You're
I'm
marketing
marketing
their
for them.
business. I love it.
I'm
And they're
marketing
probably thrilled. And this is
through.
part of like that building community, right? Which is what you
Exactly.
wanted to do going back into that kind of medicine. Like it's the building of community. And there is no reason that we can't be helping each other build
No reason
audiences.
at all.
Like, don't start from scratch. Don't think about it as starting from scratch, right? Like, go out and help promote other businesses, help promote other docs. Like, help do those things. You're helping them. You're still getting your name out there. They're going to share it with
Exactly.
their audience. Like, this is how you exponentially grow stuff. Like, good for you.
Exponentially.
That's freaking amazing. I love all of that.
There you go. And it has worked out. I mean,
Old.
all of those places that I had the chance to go to, I could make a clinic post right now. They're all going to share it. They are
Oh,
still
yeah.
all going to share it, because that was a relationship that was developed so early on. And it's been really incredible. So
I
you're
love
right.
this
It's
idea.
not okay to be, it's not okay to avoid social media
Yeah.
kind of
You're not
market
in a
too far.
bubble. Like, we're not in that anymore. Like, there's so much connection. Granted, it's not really the real connection, right? And I think that's
But give yourself
partly
the
what we're
chance to
resistant
make
on.
that real
But give
connection.
yourself that opportunity. Like, now you have that with these other businesses. Like, they're going to show up if you have an open house.
There
That's
you
great, you know? And then I really always want to encourage people to, especially if they're nervous about kind of putting themselves out on social media, like, yes, you want to make sure that you're making the ask, right? But like how you did the ask was really important. It's the, I'm just asking you to share it. Like, you're not asking them to buy anything. You're not selling anyone any. You're just ask, just share it. Just share the information for somebody that you might think would benefit from it, right? We spend all day educating our patients. This is literally no different. Like, pick a platform. If it's Instagram that you're better with, great. If it's YouTube that you're better with, great. But just create that authority, like you were saying, where you're talking about it and you're educating people the way you'd educate your patient. That's it. That's all you're doing. You're not saying, hey, come buy me. Hey, come like me. Hey, my value is based on, your ability to like, share, and subscribe. Like, you're not doing any of that. You're just educating. And that actually will go farther than you'd
Absolutely.
think. And it's a lot less nerve-wracking to do.
Exactly. And for people who think, oh, well, what do I have to talk about? What do I need? Especially if you're in practice right now, take a clinic day. In a clinic day, after you come out of a room, jot down three things that you talked about with the person, because then at least you know you're coming up with relevant stuff. And it's
That's it.
relevant because you literally talked about it with the
Somebody
patient
needed it today. Like,
Yes, exactly.
yes, absolutely. And you get to a point where you're saying kind of the same stuff to
Exactly.
the same problem over and over again, right? Like, especially for what I do. And so, yeah, just go on and talk about that. Like, who cares? And part of it, I think, is separating our sense of worth from that. Like, we all get a little nervous about that. But really, if you can approach it like, I'm just talking to patients. That's it. Just talking to patients. They just don't happen to be in my office, but
That's
it's
it.
still information I would share with anybody. Like, that's going to get you a long ways. That's fantastic. I love that. Oh my gosh. Okay. So, what were some of the bigger challenges? So, you start with a full panel, but what were some of the bigger challenges as you were kind of getting started that you noticed?
Yeah, so for me, and it's still a challenge, you and I were talking before we hit record about delegating,
Oh,
right?
yeah.
Learning to not have to be the one who does everything. I hired a staff, I'm paying a staff, so why am I still doing X, Y, and Z? And so that part for me was really hard,
We
but
all
what
got
it
trust issues.
is that we all literally have
We
trust
all got
issues.
trust issues. Yeah.
We all do. So that was a big part for me. And then also just learning the HR part, right? And so
Yes.
really making sure that I was, doing things the right way. I mean, tax time is coming around every year. It's
Oh,
coming every
God.
quarter now. It's coming. So really making sure that I had those things, the business skills that no one taught us during our training. And so taking that extra time to go back and learn those things. And I think, what all that boils down to for me was setting my schedule so that it still gave me the time to do those administrative things. So it got to a point where, when I initially built out the schedule, I wasn't thinking, what you and I were talking about earlier, that this is mine. This is mine. I can build it the way I want it to be. My schedule doesn't, my schedule doesn't have to look like it looked in employee practice. I
Oh
can
my God,
take
not at
a
all.
half day on Thursdays and say, this is my admin time. This is when the bills are getting paid. This is when, I'm doing these things to work on the practice, not necessarily work, in the practice. So not a time that I'm doing patient notes, those other things, but a time that I'm being the CEO of this practice.
Your
And that was one
CEO
of the things,
time.
the CEO time. And that was one of the things that early on I didn't do. But when I felt myself getting to that place of thinking, oh my gosh, I left an employee job of burnout. I did not leave that employee burnout to come to a self-inflicted burnout. Like something has to change. And so I encourage, docs who are starting their own practices, don't make that mistake that I made. Build that time in from the beginning so that on day one, week one, month one, you've given yourself a little bit of time to separate out what is the time you need to actually run the practice. And I think that's important. And that's whether you've got an office manager or not, you still need that
Absolutely.
time to be the one running the practice. It's so important.
You're the one that's kind of driving the ship,
Yeah.
right? So, like, if you don't get time, if we want to go full analogy here, if you don't get time to crawl up the mast and take a look at where the heck everything's going, like, you don't know. You're just kind of at the ocean's mercy and you're just hoping for the best over here, which
Exactly.
hope is not a great strategy.
Hope is not a
Not a
great
strategy. But no, I mean, really, I think I agree, like, delegating out those things so that you can have that visionary time, right? Because there isn't anybody else who's going to be that visionary. And that's what I always call the CEO time.
I like that.
And God, you get to make this really whatever you want. And that is the part that it is easy to get stuck where you're, because we know how to work. Most of us have worked most of our lives all the way up through residency. That was technically a job. But you're not owning a business to create another job for yourself. Like, you own a
Exactly.
business because you're trying to create a business. Ideally,
Exactly.
the business runs itself. So,
Exactly.
like, we should be creating these self-running entities that can
Yeah.
just function without us. Like, I'm down to 3 days a week.
Which
I
is
love
why,
it. No,
yeah.
I know. And I looked at my staff. I was like, can we go down to two
I
next year? And they were like, oh my God, what are you? Like, no, but for
it.
real, could we do that? Like, you know, so I just,
I'm at three and a half, and it's glorious.
it's amazing. Is it not amazing?
It
I
is
love
glorious.
it. I love everything about it. No, I know. And it's like all my coaching clients are like, I don't think I'm going to work 5 days a week. I want to do four. And I'm like,
Girl.
girl, do three. Like, you talking about four even? Like, do three and a half, you know? Like, what do you need to be there for? Let's be efficient, you know? But yeah, I think that is the delegation is probably the hardest,
Yeah.
I think, for all of us. You know, in residency, we really get pushed to like do everything yourself, and we're also very smart people, right? So
And
like,
we know we can do things.
yes, that's the problem. It's like this, it's this terrible trap where you're like, I can do this, and I know that I could do this faster than it would take me to train somebody else to do it. So we therefore assume that somehow that's the most efficient. Completely the wrong way to think about it. Like,
You're
take
so
that
right.
initial time to train somebody, and then you do not have to do it again.
You're so
Like,
right.
you are done. You get to
You're
go
so
do
right.
other revenue generating activities.
Exactly. And that's the thing, revenue generating activities. I cannot tell you how much time I've spent on Canva making
Oh,
posts and things like it is just
yes.
and no money. And so when I stop and I think about like how much if I take my full salary over the year and break that down into an hourly
Oh,
rate,
your hourly rate. Yes.
it'll blow your mind because would I pay someone else, $300 an hour to make a Canva post?
No.
Absolutely
No,
not.
I would not.
Like,
So why am
no.
I paying myself to
Why am
do
I
that?
doing it?
No,
Why am I doing
I
it?
know that I'm always like, get the hourly rate. And this is, there's a
I
reason to
did that
find it.
on this vision retreat I
Yes.
took the past weekend, and it was shocking. It was
Yes.
shocking. It was
Yes.
shocking.
Yeah. It's like, what do I make if I'm seeing patients?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. There is no way I should be running my QuickBooks. Not a
No, right,
chance.
exactly. Not a chance.
Not a chance. I'll pay a bookkeeper.
Absolutely. A percentage of what I would have paid myself. And
Right.
so yeah, absolutely.
Right. I love that. Okay. So, what would you tell your, knowing what you do now, because you did this in 2022, correct?
Yes, 2022.
22. Okay. Yeah. And it's honest to God. I mean, I will say after 11 years in practice, like, it's kind of the same issues over, they just kind of keep representing. So, like, this kind of advice, the stuff we're talking about today, is going to season and age very well, I will
Yeah,
tell you.
absolutely.
Like, right? Like, there's not going to be a whole lot of difference between your second and third year and your 15th. It's going to be the same problems, going to be the same things you're going to be having, you know, to fight with yourself internally on. But what would you tell your younger self when you were kind of getting started? If you had to kind of focus more on that mental state, like the mindset shifts, what do you feel like you would kind of tell yourself about where you were and where you knew you were going to get to?
Yeah, so the biggest thing would be to block out the outside noise, right?
Okay.
And so when you get to a space that you are making good money in an employed practice and you have a quote unquote stable job that you may hear others around you say, why would you do this? Why would you do
Right.
private practice?
Oh, God, yeah.
It's too risky. Are you sure this is what you want to do? Maybe stay with the job that you have. And
Yeah.
then we hear those things as we're building the practice, but we also hear them when we're in the practice, right?
Oh,
When
God,
we're in
yeah.
private practice and you mess around and tell someone that you had a rough day or a rough week. Well, why don't you think about going back to an employee practice? Why don't you think about, selling your practice or things like that? And blocking out the excess noise is so important. It's so important to hunker down, to figure out what your vision is for what you want to do, and then finding the people who get that, right?
Yeah.
And everybody won't get it. And that is okay. You do not have to share your vision. You don't have to share your plan with everyone. When you share it with someone and they look at you sideways, that's not your person.
That is
Go
not the person to keep
find
talking to about
someone.
this. Yeah.
Not
Walk
it.
away.
Go find someone who is excited about what you're doing, someone who has
Yes.
done what you're doing, and someone who can really work you through it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, we find ourselves like in this headspace that can get really wild, right? And
Right,
make you
right.
think that you have put all this money, all this time, all this effort into something that can't work when really you're just bouncing it off the wrong people. You're
Yeah,
bouncing it off the
yeah.
wrong people.
Yeah, I think being in the right room, right? Like, and surrounding yourself, I love that. Surrounding yourself with the right community of people. And I mean, I definitely feel like even when I was kind of early on, that I would agree. That was not something that I'm not really a group person usually, if I'm being honest. Like, I don't love conferences. It takes a lot of energy out of me. But I've learned to get over that, but like it's also very difficult. I need like 2 days off when I get done with that stuff. But what I really kind of built things in a void. I kind of did the same thing. Like I built up the practice. It was just me. You know, I had other kind of friends that were doing private practice, so I could kind of ask questions, but I didn't really have that sense of community. And it wasn't until I joined some of those masterminds or I joined some of those groups where everybody was really like, not just, oh, we do private practice and we're sitting around complaining about it, right? That also,
Exactly. Those are not the
side note
people.
to everybody listening, those are still not your people.
Still
Like
not your
the
people.
commiseration groups, valuable, but not your people.
Not
You
it.
want to be in that room with people that are elevating up their practices, that are taking that next step, that are like, what are you going to do next? Like, well, what about this? What about this? Like, those were the years I made all the leaps and bounds.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And so that would hands down be my advice is get away from the people who are bringing you down and
Yeah.
find people who are doing what you're doing, who are have done what you want to do, and
Yes.
who are supportive of you. And even if it's not people, who are in private practice or who are in medicine,
That's okay.
those people, like your family, your friends, you don't have to share everything with everybody.
No.
If they're not on
No.
the team, go get
No.
one and give people their buckets, right?
And that's one of those things that is kind of hard because I think a lot of people, you know, friends and family are worried about us also. And, you know, so they may not be the most supportive cheerleader that you need,
Exactly.
but that's okay. They're coming at it from a place of love that they're concerned about you, right? But if you are not walking away from those conversations feeling like this person is behind me 100%, it's probably not the person you should be spending the most time bouncing your
Exactly.
ideas off of. Like, and that's really hard, right? Because that could be a
Yes.
spouse, that could be a best friend, that could be your mom. Like, they're all going, are you sure? You know, and it makes you question yourself because you're like,
Does.
these people have my best interests in mind. What am I doing? And I think getting in that room with people who are like, no, let's see what else you can do,
Let's
right?
see,
Like,
right? That's not
that's a
enough. Keep going.
whole different vibe. Like you expand your capacity so much farther in those rooms. And it is a little hard to have to kind of pick and choose that. It can be a little bit disappointing when you think somebody's going to be like all for it, even if it's a spouse, and they're kind of like, hey, is this actually right? You got to keep in mind they got a lot of other stuff they're probably thinking about in there too that's concerning for you know? But like, trust yourself. Know that if you put yourself in the right rooms, if you're educating yourself, you know, listening to podcasts like either of us have, like people that have done the thing you want to go do, go talk to those
Those are
people.
people. Those are your people.
Those are your people. That's your tribe. Go find your tribe. Hands down. I love this. Okay, so tell me about the other stuff you're doing because you've got two podcasts,
I
which
know. Daughter
X
Sarah,
me
I'm
up. I
doing
have a hard
more.
enough time keeping up with one. So.
Yes, so do I. And one of those delegating things, I've got to. So not only do I have the podcast, I do all my own editing, like all the things.
No.
I know. I'm working on it. It's on the list of things from this past weekend that I'm gonna
Girl,
fix. So
I
there you go.
love that for you,
There you
though.
go.
I'm really,
I'm gonna. It
I
will
gave that up
change.
so fast. I was like, here you go.
We'll have to talk about that because it's on the list of things I've got to
I
change.
love
But
it.
I
I love
do.
it.
So I've got two podcasts. So one, most relevant to this audience is Physicians Hanging a Shingle. And so it
Yes.
is all for docs who are, in the process of starting their own private practices. And it airs twice a week. So on Monday is the how-to, like we talk about all the things, the
Nice.
credentialing, the social media, setting up SOPs. So it really is how to. And then on Thursday, so the Thursday episodes are called the Thursday Shift, and they're just really short, 5 to 6 minute episodes that are all about that mindset shift that
Yes.
has to happen when we're building a private practice. And
Yep.
literally on the one that came out today, so today is Thursday and we're recording this,
Yeah.
the shift that we talked about was, I feel like no one around me gets what I'm doing. And it is just what we just
Yeah.
about that
Yep.
sometimes you have to, be mindful of who you let in your circle. So
Yes.
I do the podcast, which is great. I do one-to-one coaching with it also. And that is just, again, it's a kind of a 10-session framework that I have set out that is working like gangbusters for the docs that I've been so blessed to work with in the
Yeah.
past year, who have also started, really successful practices. One who's a pediatrician that I talk about all the time, who I love just getting a check back with to hear how her practice is growing. I mean, she's already
Yeah.
like, do I need to add a nurse practitioner into this practice? And she is 2 months into it.
I
But
love
it's just,
this.
it goes to show that when you plan the practice well, then it can take off. And
Yeah.
so the podcast, the one-to-one coaching, and then I have a digital course called Plan to Practice, which is just a kind of self-paced chance for docs who are doing it to do what I did in Honolulu, to work through your business plan, because that's so important. It goes back to what you were talking about earlier, having that firm foundation to be able to go back to. And so it gives you a way to really set your vision before you begin. And
Yeah.
it helps you internally, but it also then is a document that you can take to a bank to get the funding,
Right.
financing that you need. So
Right.
yeah,
Right.
so those are the things within Physicians Hanging a Shingle. And then my second podcast is called Headed to Health. Healthier. And so it is for largely for women who are 40 plus who, like us, we lead really busy lives, may have kids that you're dealing with, aging parents that you're dealing with,
We got all the
work,
things.
careers, all the things.
Yeah.
We put everyone ahead of ourselves. And this podcast is a chance to just slow down 15, 20 minutes a week and to have those chats. Talk about mammograms. We talk about cervical cancer screening. We talk about
Yes.
IVF, you talk about, weight, obesity, all the things. And so
Crazy perimenopause.
bringing
Yeah.
perimenopause is
All the
huge,
stuff.
all the things.
Yeah.
And so it's a mix of me doing solo episodes and then me bringing on specialists in these areas that this is what they do.
Good.
This is all they do. And so I love that. And with that, have really just got on this kick of wanting to encourage people to set goals and live healthy lives. And so I started a planner. I created a planner, like
Of
literally
course.
hand
Of
sketch. I know
course.
you talk, I
I've
came up with
seen
it in
this
my
online.
shower.
I'm like, I can't believe she's doing this too. I love
It's
this.
so
Okay.
great though. It's like, I love a good daily planner. It literally is how I organize my life. So, I was thinking of, finding a planner that I love. And then I was like, maybe I'll just create a planner that I love.
Beautiful.
And why limit it to just doing your daily, monthly, weekly tasks? But let's turn it into something that's health driven too. And so the planner
Yes.
has a place for you to put your past medical history, your family medical history, the medications you take, a place for you
Yeah.
to set goals each month and how you're going to reach those goals, and a place for you to track your appointments. So to track your doctor's appointments, to track your checkups, to put your screening in. So just all the things that we need to be keeping track of, that when you and I are seeing patients and we ask them,
Oh yeah.
when's the last time you saw your cardiologist and what did they say? And they look at you like they have no
Oh my
idea.
God.
Well,
They're like, wait, which doctor was that
I
again?
know.
You're
Yeah,
like, I don't
exactly.
know. I don't know who
Yeah,
you're seeing.
yeah.
Like
And so just a good place to track all those health things. And it's been really fun to do and to create. And people have been so receptive to it. I'll have people buy one. And then because I'm literally fulfilling them all myself, I'll see them buy one and then come back later and buy like four more. And it's like, these are Christmas gifts. And so it's been.
Oh my God. Okay, then I need to talk to you after this separately about fulfillment because I've decided to write a book. Yeah, great.
Wow,
Okay, yeah.
yes,
So
I
I'm
love
like,
it.
how am I going to self-publish?
Oh, I got you.
So
Don't
we'll
worry.
talk about that. Okay, good. Because I was like, I don't know how the
Oh,
distribution
no.
of this works.
Got it. I'm doing it out of my living room. It's fine. I'm running a whole Shopify store out of my house. It's
I
okay.
love this. Okay, that makes me feel a little bit better because
Oh,
I was like,
totally
I'm just going
doable.
to designate a room and hope for the best. My husband maybe
Totally.
won't
No.
notice. I don't
Yeah.
know,
I'm not
but
even putting a
anyway.
Christmas tree up because that room is full of
Right,
planners
because it's full
that
of
I was going to
stuff.
put
Like, I'll have to get one. I love this.
in.
No, and honestly, it's so cool too with like with the one-on-one coaching that you're doing. That is like, it's just, isn't it so rewarding
Oh,
when you
yeah.
watch
Oh,
people just get
absolutely.
to grow this? Like, you're just like,
Absolutely.
oh, I'm so excited for you. And I love that you like the thing I want to bring in for people is like, because, I've got people in the audience. Some are like thinking about starting a private practice. Some are like just getting going with it. And then I have a ton of people that like are more the group that I'm working with specifically one-on-one, which is the like, we have the practice, but like, I want to add aesthetics. I'm ready to add the bigger stuff. I'm ready to
So important.
expand differently. Yeah. And kind of like branch out and start lateral arming it. that tends to be where I shine. I am super excited that you are working with the startups, man, because
Yeah, I'm here
like
for it.
I
I love
want
it.
people to go into
Yeah.
this, but
Yeah.
it is a different beast.
It
So
is.
like
It
I
is a
would encourage
different beast.
people to work with someone for
Yeah,
sure.
absolutely. In hindsight, I have no idea how I did it by myself. So,
I mean,
and
yeah, like that's the thing, right? We look back on it and we're like, God, there's so many things I would do differently. But you know what? It still worked and they're still
Oh,
incredibly
absolutely.
successful. And that's the whole idea is there isn't a wrong or a right way to do this. And I think in medicine too, we get so hung up on like, well, there's a right diagnosis and a wrong diagnosis. And
Yeah,
like, it
yeah.
has to be one or the other. There is no middle ground on most things we do.
Right.
So the idea that like, you're not actually really wrong with any startup idea, it just might need to be honed in for like, you may need a sounding board for like, what's going to be the best
Exactly.
option for me, right?
And
And that
that's
I feel like
so
is what we
important, Hannah.
do.
Absolutely. That is absolutely what we do as coaches, and to help just take away the overwhelm, right? To be this
Yes.
coacher that says that there's nothing super special about me. I'm not a unicorn.
Right.
I did this.
Right.
You can do this too. Here's
Right.
the way to go. And again,
Right.
to be that space to bounce things off, because neither of our plan is for people to be, in a cookie cutter,
No.
situation, but build
No.
what feels good to you, and let's
Yes.
talk through it.
Yeah, no, that absolutely. And like I said, I mean, I even use my business coach. Like we just spent time talking about my spa open house this morning. Like
There you go.
I was like, this
Love
is
it.
what I need to work on today. She's like, okay, great. And I think that's one of the things that is nice when you've got, you know, a one-on-one coach too, is like you can actually work through where like they can meet you wherever you're at. Right. Like, and
Exactly.
that
Yep.
is, I think that was the thing that I found. The community groups and the masterminds and stuff were great. And I love them and they have a place for sure. But I did feel like I needed more of a one-on-one
One-on-one.
person
Yeah.
because I have so many irons in the fire and they
Yeah.
are at various
Exactly.
stages of crazy that I'm like, I need somebody to help me keep this straight. And the therapist doesn't really do that. The business coach does. So, you know, different things here. So
I love it.
wonderful. Okay, I am super excited. I wanted to ask a couple of book recommendations. I usually
Okay,
ask
yeah.
my interviewees like, "Hey, what are two books that you found
Okay.
were like really influential for you that you would recommend to other people?"
Okay, yeah. So I've got two. But one is The Profitable Private Practice by Dr. Una. So Dr. Una is fantastic, a wonderful
Yes.
businesswoman
Yes.
and coach. And that book has changed the way my practice runs now that I'm in the practice. And so it really goes through, rethinking the things that we're already doing in practice to be more profitable, to
Good.
allow us to better take care of patients and take care of ourselves. So that is one. And then the second is the one that I'm reading right now that I'm actually rereading, but this time I'm workshopping it. I'm not just, listening to it on Audible, but I am reading this book with a notepad beside me, and that is Who Not How. And like we've
Yes.
talked about several times already, then I need to delegate more, and this book is absolutely helping with that. So Who
It's
Not How,
phenomenal.
it's a fantastic book.
Yeah, that's Dan Sullivan.
Yes.
If you even if you're not, is Profitable Private Practice for Dr. Una, does she have that out on an audiobook yet?
I don't know if it's if
Okay.
it's an audiobook. I've bought the copy of it, the paper copy, and
Okay.
so I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think I know I have the paper copy, but I wasn't sure if she does an audiobook
I
yet.
don't know.
Who Not How I know is on like
Yes. Oh, yes.
Audible and all of
Yes.
that. Like, so I mean, that's how I've done most of my business education is I have an hour commute to work.
Yep.
So
Perfect.
I do my business
100%.
education on my way to and from. That one is a really great read, but I agree with you. It is one that like you listen to all the way through and then you go back and you're probably gonna go back through multiple times. Like I've already
I
been
need.
through it three times.
Really? I feel better then. I feel
Yeah,
better.
don't at all. 'Cause like there was stuff that I even caught after going through and workshopping it the second time. I went back through it a third time about a year later and I was like,
Yeah.
oh, I forgot
Good.
about that piece.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And like that little tiny tweak, huge difference. Loved it.
I will probably make it like a yearly read, like this time around this time of year as I'm
Yes,
for the
yes.
next
This is the
year.
perfect time of year 'cause you're like planning for the next year and it just puts everything into a little bit different perspective too.
Right.
So
Absolutely.
yeah, I really
Absolutely.
like that. Well, Dr. Anderson, thank you so
Thank
much. I
you. This
have
has been
loved
awesome.
this convo. Yes. Where can people find you? We are going to put information in like show notes and in the email that we send to everybody for the episode, but like where can they find you? What's the best way to get a hold of you.
Yeah. So for physicians hanging a shingle, I've got a website. So
Perfect.
hangingashingle.com.
I love
And then
that.
the podcast, I know, right? The podcast is Physicians Hanging a Shingle. And again, airs twice weekly and can be found literally anywhere you listen to podcasts. And the same thing for Headed to Healthier. So that website is headedtohealthier.com and the podcast is available again anywhere you listen to a podcast. And the
Love it.
planner, if anyone's interested in the planner, it is at healthierplanner.com. And I'm
Okay.
super excited about that. So those are things that I have going on.
I'm writing that down right now because I'm probably gonna be, pulling one
And thanks for
out of
letting
your
me
living
hear it
room.
because, right?
I'll
300
just,
more.
just get that boxed up for me. That'd be great. All
Got
right, awesome.
it.
Well, thank you so much. We
Thank
appreciate
you.
you being here, and hopefully we'll chat again soon.
Thank you. This has been great. I appreciate you so much. Thank
Of
you.
course. Talk to you soon.